earth tonight. We release these words in the atmosphere tonight that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Father. We believe that, Lord. We believe it over our lives. We believe it, Lord, over our nation, that You are good and Your mercy endures forever over America. We believe that, Lord. We thank You for Your mercy over our nation. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You for every person here tonight. I pray, Father, that You open our hearts. I pray that You give us revelation tonight, and I pray that You give me utterance, Lord, to say what You'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated. Well, again, good to see you tonight. I'm glad you came out. And as I said, I enjoyed Grandparents' Day, but I missed praying this morning. So we're going to kind of combine the two into one, a teaching service and a prayer service. So that's a pretty scriptural thing to do, right? Amen. And praise God. So we're going to do that tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to start. And the title tonight is of the message is The Importance and the Blessing of Praying for Your Nation. The Importance and the Blessing of Praying for Your Nation. And this is actually some of this, or the framework really, is from a message that I shared. I don't know if you remember last fall, I was a part of a prayer conference down in Powder Springs at Word of Life Church down there. And this is what God gave me to share with the group down there for the prayer conference. And so I'm going to share some of it. And then there's some fresh revelation that the Lord gave me this for this message for us tonight. So we'll start right here in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So we're talking about the importance and the blessing of praying for our nation, of praying for those in authority. And the Bible says that we're commanded to do this first of all, right? He says, I exhort first of all. So, and so in other words, it's a priority. I don't think that you're sinning necessarily if when you first get up in the morning, if you breathe a prayer about something else before you pray for those in authority. But I do believe that we should make it a priority. And it's not what I believe, it's what the Word says. Amen. That's what counts. But I do believe what the Word says. It is to be a priority. First of all, we're to do this. Amen. And this is written for all believers. This is written for all of us to do, right? Amen. Okay, four of you agree? How about can we get a consensus tonight? This is for all of us, right? Okay, all right. Just want to make sure that we're together here. And so it's important that we follow these instructions. And so we're going to look into the why. Jerry O'Dell said one time years ago, I was at a missions conference with him, and he got up and he said, this conference is about the why. You know, a lot of conferences that you can go to, a pastor's conference or a church growth conference or whatever, it's about the how you do this, how you do that. He said, this conference is about the why, because if you understand the why, you'll figure out the how. See, and you can have all the how down, but if you don't understand the why, you won't be able to do the how, yep. Right? Yep. So we're going to talk about, he has had through the years some just profound statements like that. Another one that I love is this. If you want what God wants for the same reason He wants it, all of heaven is behind you. Yeah. So this is talking about our motives. If you want what God wants, and if you want it for the same reason He wants it, then all of heaven is behind you. So, amen. Praise God. All right. So we're going to talk about the why. All right. And we also see there's a blessing that's guaranteed to us if we'll do this. And that blessing is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Right. He says, when we pray for those in authority, he says there in verse 2, that we may lead. Put verse 2 back up there if you would for a second, Roy. that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. See that? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. How many of you appreciate and would like to continue living a quiet and peaceable life, right? Amen. Well, that's important. That's good. And we see, you know, of course, going on in Ukraine, with Ukraine and Russia, the Ukrainian people are not living a quiet and peaceable life, right? Over 2 million have fled the country because of what's going on right there. Well, that's not God's best that be happening right there. Jeremiah 29, verse 7, I've mentioned this recently, but I want to bring it back up today. In Jeremiah 29, verse 7, this is in the New International Version. He says, "Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it." For it what? It, what is it there?
For the city.
Right. Everybody got that? The it that we're to be praying to the Lord for is the city. Okay. Pray to the Lord for it. And he's talking to the Jews there that were carried into captivity. And he says to pray for the city that I've carried you into exile in. Pray for that city. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Well, how much more than your own nation? If we're to do that for the city, for if the Jews were to do that for a city they were taken captive to, how much more were they to do it for their own nation? How much more are we to do it for our own nation? Pray to the Lord for our nation, because if it prospers, if our nation prospers, then we too will prosper. Amen? Now, I used this illustration last fall, last October, when I spoke at that prayer conference in Powder Springs, and I've talked about the price of gas increasing. Now think about it now. Back to the good old days in October of 2021, when gas was only $3.20 a gallon. That's what it was then. And so I said, imagine that that you drive 50 miles a day. It's pretty easy for a lot of us to put 50 miles a day on a car in our driving. And imagine that the vehicle you have, you average 20 miles per gallon on your, that can vary widely. Fred's got a smart car, you know. He doesn't even use gas. He's got pedals in there. Like, remember Fred Flintstone? And Jeff's got a Tahoe, and he gets 8 gallons per mile on that. Not 8 miles per gallon, but 8 gallons per mile. So it can vary widely. Okay, so let's average 20 miles per gallon. That's 2.5 gallons a day of gas that you're burning if you drive 50 miles at 20 miles per gallon. And I put in my notes, last year gas was $2 a gallon. So in 2020, that's what gas was. In the fall of 2020, gas was $2 a gallon. And it was even lower than that at times, like in 170, 179. And so then it was, at the time I was speaking this in October, it was $3.20 a gallon. And I did some computation. That's $1.20 a gallon difference times 2.5 gallons a day. That's $3 a day more that you're paying for gas. If you multiply that out by 30 days in a month, that's $90 in a month. You multiply that out by a year, that's $1,080 more that you're paying for gas in a year. You really want to hear something now? All right. It's $4. Yesterday, did you notice yesterday at noontime yesterday at Quick Trip, it was $3.97, and an hour and a half later, it was $4.29. Yeah. And so anyway, at $4.20, let's round it off to four. Let's give ourselves a benefit of a doubt, which I don't know if we can have that right now. But let's round it to $4.20. So that's $2 compared to October of 2020. That's $2.20 a gallon difference. You multiply that times 2.5 gallons, that's $5.50 more per day, $5.50 more per day that you're spending. That's $165 a month. That's $1,980, almost $2,000 a year more than the average person is spending per year, almost $2,000, $165 a month, almost $2,000 a year more on gas, just on gasoline. And we know, of course, not only is this the price of gas going up, but everything that gets to us via a truck. That's all going up too. You see, already see it at the grocery store, right? I mean, so could this? So the question, my question, how do we bring this back to what he says that we may lead? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Pray for the nation. Pray for those in authority. Pray to the city. Pray for the nation. Pray for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Well, could this, could $2,000 a year, could you use that somewhere else? Would having to pay $2,000 a year more for gas, would that affect your giving? Probably could, couldn't it? Or would, or might, okay? Say, no, Pastor, I'm going to give anyway. Well, God bless you, but that's got to come from somewhere, right? And it could affect our giving, all right? Could it affect your ability to travel in order to serve God and spread the gospel? Absolutely, right? Well, I guess we'll have to cancel that trip. Huh? See, this is just one example that's that is easy to understand because it's right in our face right now. And there's many more ways that we're affected economically, but also in terms of access and openness for the spread of the gospel. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. This is good. Back to verse 3 of 1 Timothy 2. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All right? And so that's the bottom line, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to lead a quiet and peaceable life, but to the intent that we can focus our energy, our finances, our efforts on all men hearing the gospel and being saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? Praise God. And if it's just about us, you know, being more comfortable or being able to enjoy that extra vacation, then, you know, that's not the highest purpose. God's not opposed to that. He gives us richly all things to enjoy, but He wants us to be focused on reaching others. Amen? And bringing others to faith in Jesus. Amen. So there are our government, the bots, I'm said all that to say this, the kind of government we have and what's going on in our nation and what's going on in our government affects all of this. Why are gas prices so high? Did the oil companies just decide one day, hey, we're not making enough money, we're going to raise prices? No. It's because of bad energy policy by the current administration. You start shutting down, you know, America was a net exporter of oil during President Trump's presidency. When President Biden became president, he signed something like 31 executive orders rescinding and blocking much of the oil and gas production here in America. And we had to start buying importing our oil from foreign sources. One of them was Russia. And so now they're saying, okay, now we're going to stop that. Well, where are we going to get it from? Well, we're going to go back and deal with Iran now. Isn't that wonderful? You know? And we're going to lift the sanctions that we were sanctioning them because they were furiously pursuing nuclear weapons. You know, can you imagine a radical Islamic regime with nuclear weapons? And so we had shut that down and stopped that. But now we're going to go back to Iran. Now we're going to go to Venezuela, you know, socialist dictator Maduro there, and buy oil from him. It's not sound. I'll say that. I'll be kind and I'll say that. It's not sound. And then, of course, then with the war breaking out between Russia and Ukraine, it affects all of this. So again, where do we come in? Well, God told us that we can do something about this with our prayers. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I want to read you from we use this book in prayer school on Wednesday mornings. This is a wonderful book, Derek Prince's book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. It's a tremendous book, and he's going on to be with the Lord now. I think he passed away the same year that Dad Hagin did. They were kind of the same generation, same age, but he is a wonderful reasoned logic. He uses reason and logic. He's a very well educated man. But a wonderful anointed teacher and minister of the gospel. So I want to read some things he says here. When praying for the government, what specific petition are we exhorted to make? In the second verse, Paul answered that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Does the kind of government we live under affect the way we live? Obviously it does. Therefore, if we desire a good way of life, logic and self-interest alike indicate that we should pray for our government. This was brought home to me in a new way when I applied for United States citizenship. He's born in England and born and raised in England, was a citizen of England, but came to America and moved here and applied for citizenship. He became an American citizen. Like all who make application, I was required to study and outline the basic principles and purposes of the Constitution of the United States. I think some of us natural-born citizens ought to be made to go through that as well, don't you? As I meditated on these, I asked myself, what was the real objective of those who originally drafted the Constitution? I concluded that their objective could be summed up with complete accuracy in the words of Paul, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The authors of the Constitution had as their objective a state in which every citizen would be free to pursue his own legitimate interests without interference from other citizens or the government, but with the protection of the government and its officers. Judged by the language that they use, most, if not all, of those who drafted the Constitution viewed such a state as being possible only under the sovereign protection and favor of Almighty God. Christian citizens of the United States should forever be thankful that the basic charter of their nation agrees so exactly with the purposes and principles of government ordained by Scripture. Continuing in 1 Timothy 2, Paul said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." The pronoun "this" refers back to the topic of the verse, too, which we summarized as good government. If we replace the pronoun "this" by the phrase to which it refers, we arrive at the following statement: good government is good and acceptable in the sight of God. More simply stated, good government is the will of God. Here is a statement with the most far-reaching consequences. Do we really believe it? To judge by the words and actions of many Christians, they have little or no expectation of good government. They are more or less resigned to the fact that government will be inefficient, wasteful, arbitrary, corrupt, unjust. For my part, I've studied this question long and carefully in the light of logic and of Scripture, and I have come to a deep conviction concerning God's will in this area. The will of God is good government. Okay, now back to the why. I told you tonight was going to be about the why. Okay, why? Why God desires good government. Moving on to verse 4, we find that Paul stated the reason why good government is the will of God. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires the salvation of all men so intensely that He made it possible by the supreme sacrifice of history, the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Through faith in Christ's atonement, salvation has been made available to all men. However, for men to be saved, they must first come to the knowledge of the truth, right? How shall they believe on Him of whom they've not heard? All right. Concerning Christ's atonement, this is possible only if they have the gospel preached to them. Paul presented this issue very plainly in Romans 10, 13 and 14. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? Unless the gospel is preached to them, men cannot avail themselves of the salvation purchased for them by Christ's atonement. We may sum up the logic of this very simply. God desires all men to be saved. For this, it is necessary for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth comes only through the preaching of the gospel. Therefore, God desires the gospel be preached to all men. It remains to trace the connection between good government and the preaching of the gospel. We may do this. Don't you love his logic and his reason here? I just love this. We may do this by asking ourselves one simple question. What kind of government makes it easier to preach the gospel? Good government or bad government? To obtain an answer to this question, we may briefly contrast the effects of good and bad government in so much as they relate to the preaching of the gospel. On the one hand, good government maintains law and order. Now, just think about what's been going on in our nation in the past 2 years here. On the one hand, good government maintains law and order. It keeps communications open, preserves civil liberty, and protects freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. We've seen all these things under attack right here in America in the last 2 years. All right? It is noteworthy that nearly all these points are specifically covered by the Constitution of the United States. In short, good government, without becoming involved in religious controversy, provides a climate in which the gospel can be preached effectively. On the other hand, bad government allows the breakdown of law and order. Defund the police. Permits unsafe travel conditions and poor communications. And imposes unjust and arbitrary restrictions. In all these ways, although in varying degrees, bad government hinders the effective preaching of the gospel. At its worst, bad government either restricts or totally suppresses the universal right of all men to believe in God and to express their faith by public worship and proclamation. In one degree or another, we see these conditions in countries under communist rule today. Our conclusion, therefore, is that good government facilitates the preaching of the gospel while bad government hinders it. For this reason, good government is the will of God. We are now in a position to present the teaching of 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 in a series of simple logical steps. Number one, the first ministry and outreach of believers as we meet together in regular fellowship is prayer. Number two, the first specific topic for prayer is the government. Number three, we are to pray for good government. Number four, God desires all men to have the truth of the gospel preached to them. Number five, good government facilitates the preaching of the gospel while bad government hinders it. Now, just again, think about what's going on in Ukraine right now. We understand that the church, the evangelical charismatic church, was very vibrant in Ukraine and was actually sending out missionaries and pastors to other parts of the world even. Well, what about right now? That's all been hindered. Now, I'm not saying God's not working there and that God's not doing miracles and in the midst of it. Sure He is. But that's been hindered in its full scope because the church has had to literally go underground. They're, you know, the ones that haven't fled the country are having to live in the subway tunnels right now to avoid getting killed by the bombings that are taking place. So we see when there's war, and what about missions efforts? What about with COVID and with all the lockdowns? You know, most missions work was shut down, you know, and it's just now opening back up. So that's the devil. That's the devil doing that, right? Yeah. But thank God we can change that with our prayers. Amen. And so point number six, then, therefore, good government is the will of God. All right. So praise God. All right. So, and I've said this many times recently, but I want to remind our prayer school group of it every Wednesday morning. The destiny of America lies in the hands of the praying church. I believe the Lord gave me that, and it's not that original. I'm sure many people have said similar things, but that's the way it came to me. The destiny of America lies in the hands of the praying church. We don't have to sit back with frustration and say, oh, no, you know, the Biden administration is going to run us into the ground. Well, not if we do our part. They may even be trying to. I don't know. You know, I don't know their motives. They may be trying to do what the best they can do, but, you know, you never know. They may be trying to, you know, run this thing into the ground to establish the global system, you know. But it's in our hands. Amen. We're not at the mercy of the Biden administration or George Soros or any of that. Amen. We can do something about it. Amen. We can change it. Praise God. Here's what Dad Hagen wrote in this wonderful little book, The Art of Intercession, that we read a lot from as well. Satan's authority, he made this statement. Well, let's back up and read this. Satan became the god of this world until Adam's lease runs out. He's not my God. I'm not of this world. But he is responsible for the wars between nations, the murders, the violence that is done in the world, God will not transgress His own word. He gave the lease to Adam. Adam gave it to the devil. It is running out. But until that time, God can only intervene as Christians seek His face and ask Him to move. Satan's authority over matters on the earth can only be overcome as Christians pray and intercede in the behalf of their country. God is longing today for someone who will make up the hedge and stand in the gap before Him for the land. Amen? And that's what He says in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. So I sought, if we can throw that one up there, Roy. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. And so God says, I'm looking for a man. He said, I don't want to bring judgment. I'm looking for someone that will stand in the gap. I'm looking for someone that will make a wall. Do you suppose God is looking for people like that today? I know He is. I'm convinced that He is. People who will stand in the gap for their nation. People who will make a wall for their nation. Amen? So our prayers can do that. Our prayers can hold back judgment. Does America deserve judgment for abortion and all of our other sins and all the bad things we've... Now, on the one hand, we've done more than any other nation to export the gospel, but we've exported a lot of bad stuff too. And so there's judgment that we're probably under, but our prayers can hold back that judgment. Amen. God said, I sought for someone that would stand in the gap so that I wouldn't have to bring judgment. All right. So our prayers can... I would encourage you to write these three things down that our prayers can do. Our prayers can hold back judgment. Our prayers can thwart the plans of the enemy. And our prayers can empower those who are standing for truth and righteousness in the public arena. This is concerning praying for our nation. Our prayer, and we'll read these three things again. Our prayers can hold back judgment. Our prayers can thwart the plans of the enemy. And our prayers can empower those who are standing for truth and righteousness in the public arena. That would be people involved in government. That would be people involved in media. That would be people involved that are in this wonderful revolution that's taking place with the education system, with parents standing up and saying, we're not going to put up with this and anymore. In fact, there's one I want us to pray for him tonight. His name is Mike Valdez. He's running for the school board and for South County here. And he's a good, godly man. And he just announced the other day his candidacy. So we're going to pray for him tonight. Praise God. But that's what our prayers can do. Hold back judgment. Our prayers can thwart the plans of the enemy. And our prayers can empower those who are standing for truth and righteousness in the public arena. Psalm 125, verse 3, it's a verse we've used many times again, but I'll repeat it again tonight. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. All right? And that's a promise. The scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Just before Thanksgiving, I preached a message, if you remember it, about this, the land allotted to the righteous, going back and tracing our history and proving from our founding fathers and from our history, this land definitely was established by the righteous purposes, for a holy purpose. Amen? And God's promise says the scepter of wickedness will not rest or remain on the land allotted to the righteous. The New Internationalist, I think, uses the word remain. The scepter of wickedness, the word scepter stands for authority. The authority of the wicked will not remain on the land allotted to the righteous. Well, who's going to enforce that? It's us, isn't it? Who's going to claim this promise and enforce this? It's only the church that can do that. Amen? If we will stand up and we'll say, Lord, we know that our nation was allotted to the righteous. Our land was allotted to the righteous. And Father, You said in Your word that the land allotted to the righteous, the scepter of wickedness, would not rest on it. So we refuse to allow the scepter of wickedness to rest on our nation in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. The New Living Translation says it this way, the wicked will not rule the land of the godly. Amen. So we need to stand up for that and believe for that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Read you just one more thing from the Art of Intercession. Brother Hagin says this. He says, intercession can be made in your known tongue. It can best be made in other tongues as the Holy Spirit helps you to make intercession. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you and continue to make intercession. The most effective way that we can pray for our nation is by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean just praying in tongues. It's not limited to just that, but it does include that, and that's important. The Holy Spirit can inspire you to pray according to certain scriptures. He's done that with me many, 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 many times. And that's the main way that that we pray on Wednesday morning. It's the Holy Spirit leading us to pray, leading us to certain scriptures, leading us to pray certain things with our understanding. But it also means praying in other tongues as well. Again, I want to. This is a way to pray that honestly, a lot of the church world doesn't enter into and doesn't really tap into. We tap into it heavily on Wednesday mornings or in our prayer school, but it's something that the church ought to be doing, that the body of Christ ought to be doing. Amen. And there's a remnant, amen, that are going to do that, and I believe we're part of that remnant. Amen. So let's look at. I want to read some more from Ephesians here. Ephesians 6, you know this scripture. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We know this scripture about the armor of God, right? Amen. And so that's what he's talking about. But let's skip down to verse 14. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then we'll skip on to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What's the next? And put the next verse up there. The very next word is what? Praying. Praying. So the whole purpose of the armor of God is so we can pray. Praying how? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. What's the next phrase? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So he says, put on the armor of God so that you can pray. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation. All the other parts of the armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, I'm going to show you something. Where did Paul get that? Well, we know that he was living in the time where the Roman army was prominent, and Rick Renner has a great teaching on how about the Roman soldier and how he was outfitted and equipped, and how Paul must have had that in mind when he talked about these elements of the armor of God. But actually, Paul got this from the Old Testament. Did you realize that this is in the Old Testament? Let's look at it. I'll show it to you. Isaiah 59, verse 16. Let's look at that one. Isaiah 59, 16. He, talking about the Lord, looked at the condition of mankind, and he saw that there was no man. What did he say in Ezekiel 22? He said, I sought for a man, right? That we just read, that would make a wall, that would stand in the gap, would make a wall. Here it says, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. That, of course, that's talking about what happened to our... Has that been off all the whole service? Oh, okay. Well, I didn't realize that. We could have fixed that. Anyway, who's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about Jesus, isn't he? Right? Jesus is the intercessor, right? Jesus was that intercessor when he said his own arm brought salvation for him and his own righteousness, it sustained him, all right? So Jesus was the intercessor that came into the world for us, right? But now look at verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Look at that. That's what Paul is drawing from when he writes in Ephesians 6. For us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. That's what Jesus did as the intercessor. But now we are to be intercessors and we are to put on that armor of God. And then he continues writing here in Isaiah 59 and he goes down to verse 19. See, we are to enter into the ministry of intercession with Jesus. Amen. He's the intercessor, but as the church, we are to be intercessors. Now, not in a sense that we die for someone. Jesus did that part. But our work of intercession is in prayer. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, that prayer, supplications, intercessions. An intercessor is one who takes the place of another. Amen? When they don't know to pray. When they maybe aren't even inclined to pray. But we can pray for them, for our government, for our leaders, for our nation. Amen. And we can make a difference. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. This is in that same passage where he talks about the intercessor and putting on righteousness as a breastplate and putting on the helmet of salvation. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. You know this verse, this part of it. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Against what? Against the enemy coming in like a flood. Well, has the enemy come in like a flood in our nation? Well, we've got a promise here that when that happens, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against the enemy. Well, how does that happen? How does the Spirit of the Lord, is he just going to work with it while we just sit around and watch? Is that how the Holy Spirit moves? The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts a person of their need of a Savior, right? Isn't that right, Fred? But how does he do it? He does it when a person, when a believer, preaches and proclaims the gospel. It's very rare, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but it's very rare that an unsaved person just walking down the street and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just convicts them of their sin. It usually happens by someone sharing the gospel with them, by the Word of God being proclaimed to them, by them hearing the truth. Well, how does the Holy Spirit raise up a standard against the enemy that's come in like a flood? In the same way, when believers yield to Him and respond to Him and put on the armor of God and pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Amen? You see that? Praise God. So I want to conclude. I want to read, and then we'll take about 10, 15 minutes and pray. So that's not a lot of praying. Well, you multiply it times 15, whatever, 10, 15 people we have. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, 12, 13 of us in here. 13 times 10 minutes is 130 minutes. That's 2 hours and 10 minutes of praying. Amen. It's multiplied. Amen. Brother Danny said the Lord gave him a word the other day that we're to duplicate ourselves. Well, this is the way we can multiply. Amen. Praise God. Let's see where I want to read from. This is the book called Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. It's a compilation of all of Dad Hagin's teachings on praying in tongues. The Lord told me that there is a depth of prayer and intercession in the Spirit that will be lost unless we who are experienced in prayer somehow get those truths over to this present generation of believers. I've known a few folks over the years who were great intercessors and who became experts in this deeper realm of praying in the Holy Ghost. But God wants more who can pray like those few. He must have more believers who know how to pray in that deeper realm. because there is a job to get done in these last days. If His plans and purposes are to be fulfilled in this late hour, more and more of His people must say no to their flesh and spend time praying out divine mysteries to God. He says, he goes on to say, let me pick up here. Okay, where do I want to go? However, it is important to understand that these things will not always come easy. For one thing, the flesh will do everything possible to hold us back. That's the reason the Word of God teaches us to crucify the flesh. The mind will also hold us back, trying to make us focus on the realm of the physical senses and what can be seen. That's one reason God tells us to get our minds renewed with the Word of God. Once our minds are renewed, we'll be able to move further into the realm of His Spirit through prayer. But as more and more of us respond to God's call to pray, there will begin to be greater and greater manifestations of His power and glory on this earth. The manifestation and demonstration of God's Spirit will become as common and as real as everyday natural things are to us. This is what our hearts have longed for and what intercessors have prayed for so many years. I'll tell you this much. Jesus is coming. There's no use splitting hairs about that truth because it will happen, whether you believe it or not. So let's commit ourselves to praying in the Spirit so a great harvest of souls can be reaped in these last days. People are dying and the end is coming. The end of all things is at hand, and what we do, we must do quickly. The Lord is calling us to prayer, and I, for one, am determined to answer that call. Praise God. So I want to do two things here. I want to read a portion of this prophecy. This is a prophecy that Dad Hagin gave in 1987, and I've read it on Wednesday mornings quite a few times. But it's about the authority that the church can and should stand in to thwart the kingdom of darkness and the plans of the devil. And sitting, here's the prophecy. And sitting upon the horizon of time and looking not only into the realm of the Spirit and seeing that which transpires in the spirit realm, for the enemy goes about as never before, knowing that his time is short. Thou shalt know and thou shalt share. And those who know how to pray will rise up in this hour and then intercede, and the forces of darkness shall be driven back, and the evil spirits and the powers of the enemy that would encroach on the things of God and the people of God would be driven back. And so it is that the church shall stand tall in this hour and shall stand big in this hour and rejoice in His power. And looking into the realm of time, not limited by time or space, yea, I looked and I saw the hearts of men, and oh, they were disturbed and perplexed. I believe he looked into the time we're living in now. And I saw a black, dark cloud rise up from the eastern part of our nation, and it came out of the capital of our nation. And men responded unto that darkness that arose and walked with it. And that darkness began to envelop this very land. But oh, the hearts of many that know God sensed in their spirits, and those of us that stand on the horizon of time shall sound forth a word of warning. And so there shall arise the mighty ones, those called of God, separated unto Him, and they shall make intercession, and the light shall shine. Notice that. They shall make intercession, and the light shall shine, and drive back the darkness. The evil and wicked men shall fall. And there will be those, and remember, it was told you in advance, it was told unto you years in advance. There shall be those in high places who will fall down dead. And some shall say, oh, they would have made such a great leader, I cannot understand. But those who know the voice of the Spirit shall rejoice and be glad. For you shall know the dark. That darkness has been stayed, and the hand of the enemy has been defeated. How do we do that? We don't do that by formulating a plot against the government, but through prayer. We pray, and then we let God sort it out and take care of it. We don't pray specifically for anyone specific to die. We don't know. We're not in charge of that. Only God is. But we pray for us to have good government. We bind the plans of the enemy. We bind the works of darkness. And then that looses the power of the Lord to work in our nation. And if folks are stubbornly in His way, then He knows how to get them out of the way.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And the word of the Lord that is to be consummated in those few short years to come will be consummated. And the work of the Lord shall be done. And so that work which shall be done in this hour, and the visitation of the Spirit, and that revival that is about to burst upon you shall surely come to pass. And many, many, as the world would say, hordes of people shall be swept into the kingdom. And even in places of this earth seemingly of uttermost darkness, the light shall shine in, and men and women shall rise up and exercise the authority that's theirs on the earth. And you shall enter into a new day, a new age. Not new age as man thinks. And you shall see that there shall be a manifestation at the end of this age, a portion, a measure of power, the glory that shall be manifested in the age to come. And you approach that time now, for these are the times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord, and the time of giving from the hand of the Lord, and the time of manifestation by the Holy Ghost and the glory of the Lord. So rejoice and be glad. Let not your heart be sad, neither be pessimistic. But rather you look forward to the future with optimism, with gladness and love. For the light has shined and the glory is revealed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. So I want us to give you, I should have had these out, but I can pass them out to you real quick. You may have a copy. It's a prayer that we've been praying around here for some time. And we kind of pulled it back out because it seems pertinent right now. But it's a prayer that we can pray in agreement here. That Kenneth Hagin led and prayed. It's just a good prayer that we can all have. If you have it, raise your hand. Pat's got a copy. Russ, there's one for you. I'll get them to you real quick here. You got Cheryl's got it. Okay, Barbara's got it. You guys all got it? You guys all have one? All right. Good students. Did you ever get one? Okay, all right, good. Okay, all right, well, that was quick. Okay. So can you stand up with me? You've been sitting a while. Here, Roy, I'm sorry. I'm going to get you one. You join us too. We need you. Amen. All right, let's pray this prayer. Hallelujah. And then we'll pray in the Spirit just a few minutes. All right, you ready? Here we go. Heavenly Father, we come again today. We come in the name of Jesus. Not our name, not our power, not our holiness, not even our goodness, but we come in the name of Jesus, washed in His blood, robed in His righteousness. We come because You told us to come. You said help and grace to help in the time of need. Thank You, Father. We are exhorted in Your word to pray, to intercede, to supplicate, and to give thanks for all who are in authority, that Christians, that believers everywhere may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray for our leaders, our president, every member of Congress, the Supreme Court, the president's cabinet, everyone that's in authority, that divine wisdom and grace will be given unto them, and direction will be given unto them. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil that would try to dominate and rule in our own nation. We rise up against that darkness. We rise up against those spirits and dispel the darkness. In the name of Jesus, we command the devil to take his hand off of the political scene of our nation. We pray for every politician, everyone that's in office, that they'll not be so concerned about politics, that they'll not be so party conscious, but they'll be concerned about our nation as a whole, and above all, put God first. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil, the demons of hell that would endeavor to dominate the financial scene of our nation. We pray for the economy of our nation. We pray about the unemployed. We pray that the economy will be turned around and that we'll be prosperous as a whole, as a nation, to continue to carry the gospel around the world. We command the devil and all of his cohorts, take your hand off of the financial scene of our nation. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil that would endeavor to dominate the domestic scene of our nation. We command you, Satan, and all of your cohorts, take your hand off the domestic scene of our nation. May there be peace. May there be tranquility. May there be understanding from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Gulf of Mexico to the Canadian border. We sweep the air clean from demons, powers of evil that would hinder and that would dominate in the name of Jesus. We come against all forces that are wrong. And Father, we pray with our understanding as best we know how. We're instructed to do so. Yet we sense in our spirit that our spirits have not prayed as they would like. We remember that Paul said that if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prayeth. So the great, mighty Spirit of God dwells in us. He is our helper. He is our counselor. He is our advocate. He is our intercessor. He is our standby. He will help us. We trust Him to help us pray in this area and about our nation and the leaders and all that are in authority. Help us to pray as we ought to pray and about things that we don't even know to pray concerning the coming elections. And I'm putting an S on that because it's not the national presidential, but all nationwide, statewide. We take authority over every stronghold that would endeavor to hinder the process of the right people being elected to lead our country. We boldly proclaim that your will shall be accomplished. Hallelujah. So let's do that. Let's just lift our voices and pray just for a few minutes in the Spirit right here. Hallelujah. Sore mashakatia di dilebo sogre mende. Bronde le bashaku de deleved barande. Brata negre de bi brabashkatia danda lavad la cambara bastogo dola va paramende. Alava santo dola vad baranda da bad la camara sukonda la vad baradande. Amala vesia de delevad baraganda. Alabadoso shundigen delebod maratingle, Matia de delaba paradabasena, paradabasa solieda de debod carsanda de lavar lalamoson sombranda, lalaman soso sabranda rada di sabande. Lord, we raise up that standard by the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Sola labaco de lavate. We raise up that standard against the enemy in the name of Jesus. Silabacoto de lavabara satia de delabod caramandaya. And alla bara bara siti ada dalla bara savande and alla bara bara savande jedi ada dalla bara siki ada dalla bara bande shilala bara bara yanda dalla bara manda dia. Lord, we thank you that our prayers can hold back judgment. We ask for mercy on our nation. Sola bara siti ada dalla bara karyanda dalla bara mani irela bara nori ada dalla bara sakoria ada nanga dalie arana noia dalla bara bara si agadalio dalla bara mande. Anavesio de la Bapacatoria Mamanda de la Vadla Mande, Araminio de la Vadla Maria Danai, Alamachia de la Vadaranai, Ishemana Cayanda de la Vada Condi Adanaca Patishia Gandai, Anavasico de la Vodla Cumbre Mandai, Anavesinda de la Vadla Mondanda, Ela Mondandan, Dondini Bamban Condan de la Bad Marande, and Schenenda de la Vadla Mande. And we thank you, Father, that our prayers thwart the plans of the enemy. We believe the power of darkness is pushed back in the name of Jesus. We believe that every plan and scheme of the devil fails and comes to nothing in the name of Jesus. Every plan and every scheme of unscrupulous and ungodly people that are controlled and dominated by the devil, those plans and those schemes come to nothing in the name of Jesus. We pray and believe that this nation, Lord, will fulfill its divine destiny and purpose. And we believe the scepter of wickedness will not rest and will not remain over this land, over this nation. Satan, take your hands off in the name of Jesus. Narasatita lamande. Narasatita telemande. Narasatita telemande barasatondonga lavini. And we thank you, Father, that our prayers empower and embolden and strengthen and bring a supply, Lord, to those that are standing for truth and righteousness in the public arena, those that are standing for truth and righteousness in the government, those that are standing for truth and righteousness in the media, those who are standing for truth and righteousness in the education system. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that our prayers give strength and courage to them right now and hold up their hands, Father, that they would not be weary. weary, that they would stand fast in Jesus' name. Selebaranda dalabarlamanda. Shelebarata kandidi andandalavani. Shelemakodalia dadabadgaranda dabarlamande. And we do believe, Father, that you're working in our nation concerning the elections here in Georgia for governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, all the local offices, Lord. Right here in our school board, Lord, we pray for Mike Valdez in the name of Jesus. Sola bakatidia mamani. We pray for the right people to be elected across our nation, Father. In the name of Jesus, it is your will for there to be good government. And we pray, Lord, for those who are bent on, or either who are incompetent and incapable, or who are bent on evil, to be removed in Jesus' name. Selabatoso delevete. Sola batashia di didi bokalani. Shile bakandanda la bab marasabondai. Shile makodoria da la bad garanda da bad la musandai. Iga da la bad barasita da la babora sakanda la vena. Ila boria satakodia. And we pray all of this, Lord, to the end that men be saved, that people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Dola vasuto televocodoria da daca kelele boborende. Ela la boda badoria sadalio dode ved galele boborende. We pray, Father God, for the conflict in Ukraine to come to a swift end. In the name of Jesus. Sola bakatia di dile bokena. Ela lele bosodoria de la vedgaranda da da badlamande. We pray, Father, for the innocent people there to be protected and delivered. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ there to be protected and sustained and delivered. In the name of Jesus, sola bakatotia di dile boriasanai. Elele bode boriasanai shilele bogonon de la vadlamani. Aramanjo do de vadlamanda da de bado como sakatia di dile lormandai. Lormandai don didi babaranda da la vadlamasa sociedada. La masa sociedada borke andandala badlamusandai. Andala la bode la mundesitia de la bodgerganda da la badlamusandai. La musandai don didi babalanda da de bade mochedai. Eda de la bode la mochedai. Adesele bode niria da daca kaliana. Randande badaleni mambarande. Lande bada no. Adonai, Adonai, Siti, Adadala, Barker, Kandalani, Randanana, Monsalela, Randanana, Monsalela, Rasha, Mandandala, Barlala, Mosan, Santalia, Rotinga, La Mangaranda, Dalavar, La Sandona, La Sandona, Certe, Adonai, Certe, Adonai, Gibia, Tiki, Adadala, Barkoria, Sanoria, Tanada, Shanoria, Tanagador, Siatakilia, Dosambrandi, and Andalaves, Otambre, Vingindagaya, Navindagaya, Dodeve, so televoco numuria sassalio dosa santo soca marti candine metonga levandio sambrom mangena brondon gambandini andanai brondan gandini bandanda lavadganai unishana borte mando nordi andandalio dalle vedgrim and gandande brandeghe di mendinia al sabondonia de verla handononie. Ah, sabondidi asono bronti candele varlossi anacodia. Ha ha, ha ha, bossato catodela, bassotto catodela. We thank you, Father, that the enemy's put to flight. We thank you, Father, that the standard is being raised in Jesus' name. We thank you for healing our land. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Catonole vatonele botonori atonai. Ila bato norie da de bako nai. Ila la basson john dandingan de la bad la mondo nai. In the name of Jesus. Sola bakute telebote mundanai. Hallelujah. 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 Sola bato talia da la baborande. In that prophecy, Dad Hagin says, those who know how to pray will rise up in this hour and then intercede, and the forces of darkness shall be driven back, and the evil spirits and the powers of the enemy that would encroach on the things of God and the people of God would be driven back. Well, that's what's been happening. There's been an encroachment. But we are praying and they're driven back in Jesus' name. Those powers of darkness and evil that has encroached on the things of God and the people of God are being driven back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Let's thank God that He's heard us tonight. Father, thank you that you've heard our prayers. Thank you that you've heard our prayers. Thank you, Father. We believe that you're working. We believe that you're working in our nation. We believe that you are delivering this nation. And we believe that you are delivering your people in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for hearing us, and we thank you for answering. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, thank you. And we'll wrap this up. You can be seated, and we'll...